Welcome back, ESPN Radio, AM 1430. George Hunsaker, it's the final word on ESPN. Zach Martin sitting on the other side, and it is time to catch up with Chris Coleman from TechSideline.com. My man, how are you, bro?
Doing good, man. I'd be doing better if this pollen would go away. But other than that...
Wait, what are you mad about?
Just allergies. Yeah.
I got you. I got you. Champs Food, how's it look today?
It's excellent. It looks very good.
I was really tempted to eat your sandwich, just so you know.
Oh, I don't blame you. Well, I'm going to take it with me, so...
That's a good idea for you. Hey, you know, you wrote a pretty good article on TechSideline.com that I was checking out. I was very interested in it, and it was about recruiting. And recruiting is one of those things, in my mind, nobody thinks about, but, you know, you and I were just discussing it. You want to get to the next level, that better be part of your plan. But in a normal fan standpoint, how much does recruiting really come into their thought process, do you think?
I think to a lot of fans, I'm not sure it really does until they sign. There are some who follow it from the beginning to the end, right? As soon as when the coaches start getting involved with the prospect, they'll follow it, read every recruit interview online, everything. There are others that don't pay any attention at all until the players actually get here. I'm somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm starting to pick up on it more now in the summer months, now that spring football is over. Their senior camps will be coming up this summer, which is when they do a lot of their evaluation and get a lot of their commitments generally. So I'm getting more into it now.
All right, let's start it off this way, just for people who aren't familiar with it very much. When you recruit, it's not like you go wherever you want. You are in a set position or a set state or states that you're supposed to recruit. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, Tech will assign each coach regions. You know, for example, Jim Cavanaugh will recruit Richmond, and he'll recruit some in the Tidewater. Kurt Newsom will recruit in the Tidewater. Brian Steinspring will recruit the prep schools in the state of Virginia, and will also go up to Pennsylvania. You know, Torian Gray will do some in Northern Virginia, and will also hit Georgia and Florida. So, yeah, I mean, each coach is assigned a territory.
And you keep your best recruiters in Virginia because that's your state, correct?
You know, I think that's the case. For Virginia Tech, it's the case. For a team like West Virginia, it's not, because they don't have any in-state talent, and they have to go out of state.
Right.
Kurt Newsom is a great recruiter in the Tidewater. He used to coach high school football out there. Jim Cavanaugh has been coaching in or around the state for, you know, 30 or 40 years. You know, so, I mean, he has all the connections in-state, so you like to keep guys like that in-state.
Jim Cavanaugh and Kurt Newsom over the last couple of years actually lead the number of players signed. Cavanaugh with 11, Newsom with 10. Is that because they're in-state, or they're just that much better?
It's a combination of both. They were great hires for Virginia Tech simply because, you know, Tech's not a school that a lot of times goes out and gets a lot of players from out of state. Now, we've had some very good players from out of state in the past, but Frank Beamer prefers to keep most of his recruiting in the state of Virginia, if at all possible. So you get guys like that have great relationships with the high school coaches, you know, that they go recruit the same high schools every year, build those relationships with the coaches, start saying hello to guys when they're sophomores, and then you're familiar with them later on when they're seniors. So that's pretty much the way it works.
Well, that's great and all, being able to recruit in your own state. But if you want to be consistently in the top 5, top 10, don't you need to go out of state at some point and pluck the best?
You need to have a national name, I think. And I think Virginia Tech's done a good job of expanding that ever since they joined the ACC, that they've started to recruit North Carolina more. It was so odd. For years and years and years, Virginia Tech never signed anybody from the state of North Carolina. I mean, never. I'm not talking a player here or there. I mean, never. But, you know, ever since they joined the ACC, they've gotten some good players out of the state of North Carolina, some highly touted guys. So, yeah, I think that's a step in the right direction. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you want to take that next step as a program. You know, I think you got to be proactive in recruiting. This year, Virginia Tech doesn't have a lot of scholarships to give this year, and they've gotten beat in state on their top three quarterback prospects, you know, and I realize guys look at Tyrod Taylor and guys want to play right away, you know, but at the same time, a program the stature of Virginia Tech, you know, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow when you miss out on your top three quarterback prospects like that already. You know, we haven't even finished the May evaluation period yet.
Chris Coleman from TechSideline.com right now on the final word. Chris, you wrote the article kind of from the standpoint of Virginia Tech lost four coaches following the 2005 season. You know, when I think about it, you know, I think, okay, you lose coaches, you're looking for people to come in and just coach. Not the standpoint, you lost guys who could recruit very well as well. You're trying to bring in guys at some point who can recruit just as well, if not better. And I don't think that's something that comes into my mind at all until I read the article today. Hey, wait, they're not just coaches. They're recruiters, too.
Right, exactly, right. And, you know, there's so much competition in this area right now. You got Butch Davis down at North Carolina, and Butch Davis is a tremendous recruiter. Butch Davis just recently came into the state of Virginia and got a quarterback named Bren Renner. Bren Renner's father played football at Virginia Tech. His mother was a cheerleader at Virginia Tech. His grandparents live about 10 minutes away from Blacksburg. And, you know, he was mentioned in Tech early on, but just like that, before even taking his visits, he commits to UNC. You know, it's like I said, I'll use a term I've already used before today. It's a tough pill to swallow when a guy with that many Tech connections goes down there to UNC. You know, Butch Davis last year got to UNC and with a month had signed the number one defensive line prospect in the country, a five-star defensive tackle recruit, Marvin Austin. And you look at how bad UNC generally is in football. They're just not a good. They have not been a good football program. They're sleeping giant, but have not been a good program. And then you look at Virginia Tech throughout the years, and Virginia Tech always has a dominant defense. That they always have good defensive linemen. They have Bud Foster, but yet Virginia Tech, it doesn't seem like they ever get a sniff from like a five-star defensive lineman type. You know, and that's tough to figure out why. And, you know, you look up at West Virginia, and they hired Chris Beatty. Chris Beatty is very famous in the state of Virginia as a high school coach, and he was Percy Harvin's high school coach, the wide receiver at Florida. And, you know, he went around, he was offensive coordinator at Hampton for a year, then he went up to Northern Illinois, and now he's at West Virginia, and that was a great hire for West Virginia because he's already plucked two of the top five players out of the state of Virginia, one of which, Logan Hastie, is a wide receiver. A top 35 prospect nationally, and, you know, there's always discussions between Virginia Tech fans that, you know, Virginia Tech will never be able to land, you know, one of those five-star receiver types because of the offense that they run, because of the offensive system or a lack thereof that's run in Blacksburg. But at the same time, West Virginia is a spread option team. You know, how many receivers have they put in the NFL in the last 10 years? You know, I can think of Chris Henry, and Darius Renard was a late-round pick this year. You know, and for him to go into the Tidewater area and actually pull a guy like that to West Virginia, who doesn't even throw the ball that much, but yet Virginia Tech doesn't really have the capability to do that very often. You know, it kind of makes you sit back and think that, you know, you could do a little more on the recruiting front, I think.
ESPN Radio AM 1430, the final word going on right now. Toll-free 1-866-961-1430. You got a question for Chris, give me a call in the New River Valley, 540-961-1430. Let's talk about that real quick. Why is it the defense is so well-known nationally because of their prowess, whereas you can bring in very good defensive players? Offensively, though, what needs to change in order to be able to get these guys, to be able to get, say, a wide receiver, hey, we could still make you a good NFL prospect if you're here?
That's a good question, and I'm not exactly sure what the answer is. I do have some thoughts on the quarterback position. You know, these guys like Taj Boyd going up to West Virginia in the spread option, Kevin Newsom going up to Michigan to run the spread option. And these guys are sitting there looking at what guys like Vince Young and Pat White do in college, and you got to think. Those guys never took a snap from under center in college. You know, it's all shotgun. And Vince Young's gotten to the NFL, and he's really struggled. He had a terrible year this past year, twice as many interceptions as touchdowns. He's not a very fundamentally sound player. You look back to Alex Smith, who played in the spread option at Utah under Urban Meyer, was the number one pick overall. Got to the NFL, he's not used to taking a snap from under center. He's not used to playing with his back to the line of scrimmage when he hands the ball off. He's not used to 3-5-7-step drops, you know, and it's a huge transition to the NFL, whereas you know, you look at a guy like Michael Vick. You know, Michael Vick left after his redshirt sophomore year at Virginia Tech, and he's a guy similar to Vince Young. He can run, he can pass, he's an athletic quarterback. But at the same time, in his second year in the league, he had a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He was a much better fit in the NFL than a guy like Vince Young or a guy like Alex Smith, simply because he's been in a pro style offense before, one that actually takes snaps from under center. You know,
it could be important.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not sure these guys are even thinking about that when they're making their decisions.
I want to talk about the list. Anytime you have a list, you have a top and obviously the bottom. The two bottom right now, Mike O'Kane with two and Billy Height with one. Is that, you know, where they're trying to recruit? What is it to you that puts them at the bottom of the list rather than you got Jim obviously Cavanaugh with 11 and Kurt Newsom with 10?
Well, Billy Height's never been known for his recruiting prowess. There's a reason he's been assigned to the I-81 corridor. They'll also assign him to DeMatha High School up in Maryland because that's where he went to high school. Mike O'Kane, I think they were expecting him to make a bigger impact in the state of North Carolina because he was a former head coach at NC State, former assistant at North Carolina. He played at Clemson. I mean, he's a Carolina guy. A lot of connections in those states. But, you know, that hasn't come around like a lot of people hoped he would. But at the same time, you know, it's only been 2 years. And Virginia Tech has signed 54 guys in the past 2 years. And there's only so many players that you can take. So, you know, I mean, it's still early. So, you know, you can't make those evaluations completely yet.
The comparison you made was pre-2006 staff versus the new staff, all right? So we have Kevin Rogers, Tony Ball, Lorenzo Ward, and Danny Pierman. You're looking against Mike O'Kane, Kevin Sherman, Torian Gray, and Kurt Newsom. Kurt Newsom, obviously, a guy who's signed 10. But for the most part, when you look at numbers, it's not there. Is that a problem?
From a number standpoint at this point, I'm not sure it's a problem just from the numbers alone because, like I said, the last 2 years set up very good in-state for Virginia Tech. And Frank Beamer wants to recruit most of his players from the state of Virginia. So when you're emphasizing the state of Virginia like Virginia Tech does, then there's not going to be as many recruits to sign from out of state. But at the same time, you look what Kevin Rogers did. Kevin Rogers was an excellent out-of-state recruiter for Virginia Tech. Signed guys like Zach Luckett and Jason Worlds, you know, and he was very good at the prep schools also. And, you know, his production on the recruiting trail, you know, I don't think anybody can deny it. It's been a lot better than Mike O'Kane so far from a pure numbers standpoint. You know, that's all we have to look at right there is the numbers. But, you know, Kurt Newsom has certainly done great for the staff. I think Lorenzo Ward and Torian Gray, you know, that's going to turn out to be a push. Plus, I like Torian Gray as a coach a lot better than I do Lorenzo Ward. But, you know, I think at this point, you know, the best you can say is this overhauled staff after the 2005 season. I think the best you can say from a recruiting standpoint is it's a push. I think that when they hired Kevin Sherman, they hired him from Wake Forest. I think they thought he would make a little better impact. And actually, I was looking at the numbers. I was a little surprised. You know, he signed five guys over the past 2 years, and that's pretty solid. The guy he replaced, Tony Ball, never signed more than five guys in two consecutive years. You know, so from a number standpoint, that's a push. We're going to find out about these guys this year because I think Tech might have to go out of state a little more.
We're catching up with Chris Coleman on ESPN Radio, AM 1430. The final word, George Hunsaker, 4-6 on ESPN. Zach Martin sitting on the other side. Final question for you, Chris, and I will let you go. How's recruiting going right now?
Very, very slowly. when you've got only so few scholarships that Virginia Tech has this year, they signed so many guys that last year, so they can only give out 12 to 15 scholarships this year, and they're the type that likes to get guys on campus and personally evaluate them before making an offer. Now, Tech didn't have a junior day; they didn't have these guys come into campus during basketball season, and that's when a lot of these guys started committing. Was back in the late winter after they took junior day visits to like West Virginia and North Carolina and places like that. Tech didn't have a junior day, so Tech doesn't really have a chance. They got guys on campus for the spring game, but they don't really have an evaluation period at Tech until the summer, and for the past 2 years, that's when the Hokies have gotten a lot of their commitments. So, you know, I expect that they're going to be taking a careful look at some guys during camps this summer to decide who can get an offer because you can't afford to throw away scholarships this year.
I can understand that very much. Catching up with Chris Coleman from TechSideline.com. Chris, thanks for the time.
Yes, sir, anytime.
Interesting article. I loved it.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, Chris Coleman from TechSideline.com. Right now, the final word on ESPN Radio, AM 1430. George Hunsaker here with you. Zach Martin sitting on the other side. One more segment. We get back into Ken Griffey Jr., I'm telling you. One of the top 10 to ever play the game. Any injuries, if he didn't have them, he'd be number one. Just me. It's Ken Griffey Jr. We'll talk about him more when we get back on ESPN.